Here we are. Here we are. Here we are. Where are we? We are August 4th. August 4th. And it is... We are on the Lawrence... Live, as we would say. Kind of mess up. Live from the Lawrence Walk Highway, North Dakota. We are looking at Life Issues number 26. Part 26. And we are actually continuing what Paul preaches. This is part... Oh, this is not part 2. This is part 3, isn't it? So I don't have that correct on the top thing up there, which is, you guys are never surprised I mess up stuff like that all the time. Anyway, I should say part 3 up there, so just, you know, pay attention to my mistakes. Here we go. Now, when I do this stuff, I don't know if I've ever done a sermon where I haven't learned something again or a little deeper. And I've always said that Paul's stuff is not the deep things of God. It's just, this is on the surface to follow Paul. And what Paul says are as plain as can be. He says, with plainness of speech, not with wisdom of words. You can sit back and you can read stuff. But when I do these sermons, I look at these verses, and like tonight, I just noticed a word more than usual, noticed another word more than usual. So I looked into it a little bit, and it just showed me some more stuff. So there are deep things in Paul. Paul's teaching. There are some deeper things. They're not complicated. They're not hard to find. And like the Bible says, they're unsearchable riches. But once we have Paul, I mean, they're there. But these other folks, once we get the risen Savior, let me clear that up, through Paul's teachings, there's the stuff. It is not hard to find. And it's tremendously exciting. So, there we go. So let's jump into this thing tonight, and you'll see some things I think are, well, that's probably just me, I guess. But then I started the Soul website years ago because it was just about me learning my stuff, and I threw it on the website in case anybody else wanted to learn it. And it turned into a major money maker. Anyway. Okay, we are looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 7. This is number 19 in our list of things that Paul has taught to us. It is teaching to us, and for some reason, these are the things that people don't want to hear, don't want to learn, because if they did, they wouldn't hate Paul. They wouldn't hate the preachers that preach and teach about Paul. And they would drop their Baptist affiliation in a second, because they're not going to get this there. They would drop their religion little by little by little, because you can't, it just takes a while. And maybe this is why we see some of these words, is because we're still in the process of letting our religion ooze away like a giant, well, I won't say it, but when you squeeze your religion out of you, that's what it's like. It's just this smelly, I hate that, I even hate the word. You know, I just hate that word, so I won't say it. He says in 2 Corinthians 11:7, have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. Okay? Now, we tend to think, because we have a Baptist or whatever background, where we realize that we are sinners. We are lousy people. Even Paul himself says in Romans 7. I'll read it to you. I quote it correctly here. You know, he's a wretched man that I am. And he is. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And what he's whining about is he's whining about his body, the sin that's in his body. Get me, you know, he doesn't want to be in this worthless body. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, so you see, him and his mind, they're fine. He serves the law of God. Not the laws of God, the law of God, the existence of God. Then with the flesh, the law of sin. So he has the battles with his flesh, but he himself, his inner person, there you go, his inner person, is fine. And so when he says here, if I committed an offense in abasing myself, that ye might be exalted. So here we are, we have on our minds that we are scumbags, worthless people, and yes, our body, our flesh, is worthless. It's rotted scum. It's horrible. It's just lousy. It's full of sin. It's full of yuck, stored up garbage. It's horrible, and it's still there. We are capable of doing anything we read in the news that other people do that we are, ooh, okay, he could, it's his flesh. It's in us to do that. Now, many of us have been brought up prim and proper. So we've been taught out of that kind of a lifestyle. We've been taught away from solving problems by killing people. The only problem is children today are not being taught those morals. Well, I'll just let my kid grow up and he can decide what he wants to believe on his own. No, you're not. You're subjecting your children to the ways of the world, to the God of this world, and they're going to pick this stuff up, whether they be in public school, homeschool, or Christian school, because they all got the same source of curriculums. So that's not the source. Okay, so my point, though, is this. We all admit, I hope we all admit, that, yeah, our flesh is just lousy. And the modern Christian, the modern Bible Christian, doesn't believe that. They believe, well, now that we follow Jesus and we follow in his footsteps, if we do what he does, if we do what he did, and we love everybody, no matter what, then he will bless us. No, you are following your flesh, and according to scriptures and this doctrinal stuff, you are still attached to that flesh and to that sin. You're dead in your sins, is what you are. You might be doing some good things. That's them. But us, we are separated from our flesh. So what is our status here? Well, look how Paul says this. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself? That's Paul. And abase, by the way, abasing is to reduce to a low state. Have I committed an offense in lowering myself, abasing myself, that ye might be exalted? So, if we look to Paul, and we honestly look to Paul, and we all do the stuff we do, we all should stop doing some of the stuff, and we've all stopped doing some things that we never thought we would stop, and we fight the battle just like Paul did, because that's the flesh. But we have got to quit looking at ourselves as scum. Oh, I still keep doing this, and I still keep doing that. And yeah, you do. But listen, Christ didn't just say you're saved. He took care of the law. He fulfilled it. And then he imputes to us his righteousness. And the stuff that we do from the world, well, he's going to burn it up. Relax. Get over it. And here's why I say this. Paul said, say it again. In abasing myself, that ye, that's you and that's me, that ye might be exalted. Now, we're not talking about being exalted as conceited, arrogant, high, snobby, rich Christians, trusting in the high-mindedness of ourselves and riches and all that. But he says, abasing myself that ye might be exalted. Okay, we've had marriage disasters. We've had children do things we never taught them to do. We have things that we never thought we would do. And we did things again that we thought we were done doing. I mean, we're just, you know, but, you know, get up and keep going, because Paul's teaching, Paul humbling himself, exalting himself, so that we don't have to feel that way. He teaches us the risen Savior actually did these things to us. It's not like the modern Christian, well, I just gave my heart to Jesus and he's going to guide me through my steps and he's going to keep me from all evil. And as you go to these Christian rock concerts where they have these Christian rock musicians dressed like Christian little whores and all that stuff, and you don't think that's the problem, God allowed you to go. No, you've got this all wrong. Christ actually did something, Colossians chapter 2. Christ actually took the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and cut our soul away from this stinking, there's that word again, stinking, lousy flesh. So, live like you've been cut away from this garden. Well, it's still there. Yeah, I know it's still there. We fight it all the time. But Paul teaches us what he teaches us so that we might be exalted. So don't be afraid to be exalted on the inside. Don't become a modern, snobby, conceited Christian. You know, where they, oh, I get so tired of it. I really do. I just get tired of it. And you know what? It's almost, don't get offended here now, Dakota's girl or Joyce or whatever, patience. It's usually the women that are just high and mighty. They're the ones that want to run the home. They're the ones that tell the kids yes or no. They're the ones that tell the husband what to do. They're the ones that tell at work what the bosses need to do because they want that bossship. Those are the ones at the schools that tell the few male teachers what to do. This is where it's at. Now, okay, does that make sense? It's a fantastic thing to get a hold of that Paul wants this actually exalted. Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. You know what we have in our King James Bible? We've got the gospel of God, and it's all there. It's even freelier than they had it. Because Paul got to go to places and preach the gospel of God freely. He had that freeliness. But see, we've got it in our book. We can look at the gospel of God any time we want. Now, here's the question. Well, no, not yet. Okay, so we see the gospel of God, which is what God says. God teaches. Gospel. Spelling. Gospel. Okay? And now let's go to Acts 20:27, and let's see what it is that Paul is actually preaching regarding the gospel of God. Acts chapter 20. And this is the stuff that will exalt us, not in the world, we know that, and not conceitedly, not to be a prideful kind of a person, but it will give us the inside assurance, the trust, the security, the joy. We will not be happy in this filthy world, but we still can have a joy. And we still should be joyful. Okay? Acts 20, verse 27, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Okay? So what's the counsel of God? That would have to be the question, possibly. Well, let's read 17, verse 17. Let's go back to 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility. By the way, look at chapter 19. Look at what they thought about Paul, because he said when he came into Asia, yeah, they hated him. He turned all of Asia against Diana. And their craft fell apart, and they despised the goddess Diana, and the magnificence of the false religion was destroyed. So that's what took place. And Paul is saying to these people, now listen, from the first that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, there's his abasing of himself, and with many tears, tears, and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and by the way, Acts 13 throws in devout and honorable women. Okay? 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. Okay, this is my point is this. This is the counsel of God. Matthew to Revelation? No. I don't believe so. I probably said it before that it was, but let's look at this. Counsel, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, is instruction given upon request. If I'm talking to a kid in the high school who's done his normally dumb, stupid stuff, and I'm kind of ticked at this guy, and I'm telling him how he should live his life, blah, 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 that is not counsel. He did not ask for that. Does that make sense? See, there's what's cool about a King James Bible. The word is the word that needs to be there. Now, hang on 1 second. I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to take a shot in the dark here. It might be okay. It might not be. Let's check it out here. I need to do this stuff ahead of time. I think more during a sermon anymore than I do before and after stuff. It's kind of a weird thing. It's almost like I'm just giving commentary now on what the scriptures say, you know. Anyway, let me check this out here. I'm just kind of curious. I'll probably be disappointed and wish I hadn't brought this up. But Acts 20, verse 27. Acts 20, verse... Can't even find the numbers on this thing. You know, whatever. Oh, here we go. Okay, here's the NIV. For I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. That is not what Paul is saying here at all. Paul is saying that he kept back nothing. That was profitable. So everything from Romans to Philemon is profitable unto us. Is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? It's profitable for learning. It's history. The Old Testament, Genesis, Revelation. Yes, there's a profitability in there. But that isn't what Paul taught. Paul talks about Romans to Philemon. And I have to say on the side, I also still rightly divide Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13:10. Okay, anyway. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly, L-I-C-K-L-Y, by the way. I hope your Bible has a C-K there. And from house to house. Oh, I wish I could do that. You know, I'm stuck on the studio, 129 Main Street, the metropolis of Hazleton, and I so wish I could teach this stuff publicly. I so wish I could go house to house and they would let me in by the hair of my chinny chin chin, and I could teach this to people. But anyway. Testifying both to the Jews, which he did, Acts 9 especially, and Galatians, and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God. We'll talk about that later. And faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, stick to one subject here. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course, there it is, with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify, there it is, now watch, the gospel of the grace of God, now hang on here, and now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, there's another sermon there, shall see my face no more, he's not going to be around anymore. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Okay, here it is. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What is the counsel of God? Genesis to Revelation? No. What Paul teaches. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. What did Paul preach? He preached. What did he preach? What did he preach to the Jews? Early Acts. The book of Hebrews. That's what he preached during that time. Repentance toward God. I mean, there's the list. You go into the purposes of Paul. That, my friends, that's the counsel of God. I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. What Paul teaches, because it's counseling. And we want what Paul wants to teach us. We want that. That makes it counseling. Counseling, defined, instruction for the latecomers. Hi, Bob. Counseling is instruction given upon request. The whole counsel of God is what we're seeking from Paul. We don't get the counsel of God today to us from John, or from Peter, or from Noah, or Abraham, or Ishmael, or Jezebel, which it seems like most ladies are getting their teachings from nowadays, or Eve. Eve, I'm in charge of the ladies of the church. Yes, I know you are. I've been fighting that for years when I was back there. Jude, James. No, that's not the counsel of God that Paul preached. I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. That's the important part right there. What's profitable? Because what he's taught to us, Romans 2:16, we will go to the judgment seat for. We will not be judged based on the Beatitudes. We will not be judged on 1 John chapter 3 if we hate the brethren. We will be judged, Romans 2:16, Paul's gospel. And we'll be judged by our works, not we. Our works will be judged by Jesus Christ Let's read it. I know we've been, let's read it anyway. Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, of course, according to my... Jesus Christ is going to use Paul's teachings to judge our works. Well, they're actually the teachings of the risen Savior, but he gave those to Paul. Why isn't Jesus Christ going to pull his stuff up from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? That's not the counsel of God that Paul taught to us. He taught to us Romans through Philemon. Rightly dividing Corinthians, of course. Now, I can't see your faces. I can't see if you're going, I got it, go on. So I'm just going to assume that you got it now. Okay, let's read it again. I'll just read it to you. 2 Corinthians 11:7. I want Bob to hear this too. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye, me, you, Bob, everybody here, be exalted? Not pridefully, not arrogant, not that kind of thing. Because I preach to you the gospel of God freely, and the gospel of God is also called the counsel of God, and it's everything Paul teaches. And I'm sorry, people out there, some of the folks out there, it is including Timothy and Titus. See, what goes on, some people are not receiving the whole counsel of God. Okay, that was a long time for one point, but isn't that just groovy? You know, hip stuff, or maybe just like whatever. I just love finding stuff as I read and preach this stuff. Okay, the counsel of God, folks, is Paul's preachings and teachings. That's the whole counsel of God. Now, that made me think of something. When we maybe it's just me, but when we say that phrase, I said it wrong. It is not the whole counsel of God. It is all the counsel of God. Now, think a little bit about your English days. Isn't there a difference between the whole gospel of God, counsel of God, and all the counsel of God? Definitely. The whole counsel of God would include all the Bible. Because that's the whole counsel. But what Paul's talking about is he gave to us all the counsel of God that was profitable to us with what Christ wants us to get. So there is a difference there. Okay, that's just cool. And if I got time, we're going to get to another one here. There's another word thing that is just... I got to think of some other words. I can't think of them here. But anyway, let's keep going here. Let's go to Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Here's something else that Paul teaches, and nobody else does. I'm sorry, people in the Baptist, Bible Baptist churches, the Lutheran churches, the Methodists, the whatever. Whatever. Are you church bashing? No, they're all religion. They're all, it's just like Democrats and Republicans. They're all the same. It's just what it is. So we go to Romans 2, 4. They don't teach us anywhere. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance? This is being said to a lost person from Romans chapter 1, that you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering. People out there, they despise Paul. You know what? When you despise Paul, you are despising the riches of God's goodness and forbearance and long suffering, because that's what Paul's ministry is all about. Then he goes on and says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, leadeth thee to, and knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. And what are these Baptist guys and these Bible believer Baptist guys, all these people, churches, the whole thing, other than the swabby love everybody, Lutherans, Methodist crowd, I guess I'm really just talking about the Bible guys, you know, the Hiles guys or Ruckman guys, you know, there's this other guy down there, Knox guys, there's another guy, Danny something Carter, Billy Carter, Donnie Carter, Dixie Carter, I can't think of his name. He wrote the book, Things That Are Different Are Not the Same. It's a good book about the King James Bible, but he's a Baptist writer. I just can't think of his name. A bunch of these guys, who's the guy that died in the plane crash? It's been so long. Who's the old guy that died in the plane crash? Come on, somebody type it in there. What's his name? Come on. He always preached about sin. I mean, he was just always preaching about it. He teaches a sermon on law and grace. Lester Roloff, there you go. That's all these guys talk about, is going back to verse, where is it at here now? Oh no, I'm looking at Romans 11:22. That's what I'm thinking of here. 11:22, where he says talks about the severity of God. Let's go to Romans 11:22. Again, this is Paul talking about the goodness of God, but he says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell." That's the Jews, severity. But toward thee, which is the Gentile nation he's talking to here, not Gentile a person, but the nation, and toward thee, goodness. So, this is what Paul teaches. He teaches the goodness of God, and people don't want to hear it. They don't like it. Well, why don't you like it? Well, one of the things Paul says in Romans chapter 12, which is why people don't like it, he says in verse 1 that you should present your body as a living sacrifice. I mean, you got to give up some stuff because you're a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And that includes your clothes and what you say and where you go, public especially. And it says, which is your reasonable service. I'm not asking you to do a whole lot, folks. I mean, I'm going to teach you the goodness of God. And at least you could cover up your skin, your body. Couldn't you do that for God? I mean, what does he care? I don't know, but he does care. You know, if God wanted me to cover up this body, he wouldn't give me so much body. No, that's not how you look at this thing. You know, you can't look at it that way. Because when people have too much body, Christian ladies cover up, but once they lose a lot of that extra body, they start dressing down. I'm telling you, I've said this before, but I see it, I've seen it, I'll see it, all the time, ladies that I know that once were very modest, lost a lot of weight, and now they are not modest at all. They want to show it off, which is just whatever. But that's not fulfilling your reasonable service. The goodness of God. We don't have to deal with the severity of God. Do we realize how nice that is? What a joy. Well, we have to deal with the severity of our wife, or the severity of our husband, the severity of our children. I know it's tough, isn't it? It is. But hey, it's not the severity of God. So, that's something else that Paul preaches, the goodness of God. And nobody wants it. You know, when I went to Salina, and this pastor was beating me to pieces before I even got there, so I went and I talked to this guy. You know, what is so wrong with Paul and the goodness of God? Why don't you preach that in your pulpit? All you want to do is baptize them and give them the communion thing, and he and I just didn't click at all. We really didn't. But, oh well. Oh well. Okay, let's go to another one here. I want to get to this. How are we doing on time? I'm going to jump down on numbers here just to make sure I don't miss this one here. Well, if it fits in together, let's keep going here. If you got notes, it says, made sorry to repentance. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. No, let's not go there. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Hi, Jeanette. Good to see you there. We're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We're just looking at the good things of God, and we went over the counsel of God, which is what Paul teaches. It's not the whole Bible. It's what Paul teaches. The counsel of God is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts 1 through 8, and Peter, and James, and John in a sailboat. That is not what it is. The counsel of God is what Paul preaches. We went through all the verses that showed that. And it's okay for us to be exalted because it's our soul that's being exalted, not our flesh. Paul abased himself that we might be exalted. So as we as Christians following Paul and the risen Savior, we should not feel lousy because of the lousy job we've done on this earth. Paul shows us, hey, get over that stuff. The junk you're doing is going to burn, and get on with it. That's what he's all about on that one. And so we talked about the counsel of God, but now we're looking at this repentance thing. Here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9 to 10. Now I rejoice, not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. See, Paul just got done preaching to these guys some pretty hard sermons. And I remember in the past, I'm not going to say the stories because I know you're tired of my stories, but there were times that some of my sermons were very, very hard, meant to be hard to some people. And here's what Paul says. Now I rejoice, because so here he's preaching to this guy, and this guy gets all wrapped up, and he wants to just get everything right with God, as they say. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, because you really hammered him, but that you sorrowed to repentance. I'm so glad that you heard this sermon. You come to this website, and you hear this stuff, and you see this stuff in your Bible, not because I say it, but because you see this stuff in your Bible studies, and you decide to change your life a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. And Paul says, listen, I rejoice. Not that you were made sorry. Come on, I'm sorry. Not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. I'm so glad it helped you. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner. That's okay. A hard sermon can preach to people, and I am not being their Holy Spirit. You were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. They didn't want to damage them. They didn't want to hurt them. Just wanted you to get it. Then he says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but of the sorrow of the world worketh death. So let's jump right down to Acts 26:20, and I'll show we're talking about repentance here. And the goodness of God will lead you to repentance. And I'm really glad that the sermon that seemed to kind of beat you up led you to a repentance. You changed your ways. So glad to see that, Paul says. I'm sorry it took a hard sermon, but hey, you're getting it now, you know? Then, okay, let's go to Acts 26:20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem and throughout the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. There it is again. Now, what's the big thing? The big thing in this verse to me is the word meet, M-E-E-T. Because, see, we hear this word somewhere else when it comes to your wife and Adam and Eve. Help meet. Everybody calls help meet one person. Well, I mean, one word, help meet. No. It's a help, space, comma, breathe, meet for her husband. Now, what does that mean? Suitable, proper, qualified. You want to get yourself a wife? She needs to meet. And it's not M-E-A-T, like some husbands treat their wives like meat. It's M-E-E-T. You want a wife that's suitable, that's proper to be your wife. And I'll say it again. Not so she can help you on the roof. Not so she can help you sand the side of the house. She can help you as you work on the roof. As you sand. As you lay black tarp on your driveway. She can be there to help as you do that. She is not your servant in that department. That's not her ballgame. You didn't marry your fellow worker. And the key to this thing is the word meets. Now, let's go back and look at it here. That this is one of Paul's purposes, that a Gentile should repent and turn to God, and then we should start doing something because we've repented, as it says up in verse, God himself worketh repentance. Godly sorrow should get us to do the things that, qualify for repentance. It shows that you're doing something different. You change your music. You know what you did? You did something that was meet, M-E-E-T, that qualifies for repentance. You changed. Very good. Pat, 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 pat. That's the way it's supposed to be. Oh, wait a minute. This is where godly suffering, this is where suffering comes in because you're dying to do something right. Well, that's why Paul says, That's why I get a little nervous. I'm trying to tell somebody about the risen Savior through Paul and stuff. And I say to myself over and over many times, if this guy or this lady gets a hold of this stuff, it's not going to be pretty. You're going to get exalted on the inside. You're going to get a joy on the inside. But you better be prepared. It's going to start flying. They're just not going to get it. They're going to come to the website for about 15 seconds and go, I knew it, this guy's talking about Paul. Boom, they're gone. Boy, they just hate Paul. Conspiracy. Started in Acts. Okay, so does that make sense? I think the word meet really has to be understood. Is this the wife you want? Is she qualified? You don't want a helpmeet. You know, you don't want a helpmeet. You want a help who's suitable, who's proper, who's qualified, whatever. You know, I'm not trying to change the Word of God. I'm not changing it at all. I'm just helping define it. That's what we're talking about here. So if you're going to do something, when you get saved and you trust and you look to Paul for guidance, he's our master builder, return to God, he wants us to do works, meet, meaning they're actually going to show a repentance, a change of your heart, a change of your walk, a change of what you wear, a change of where you go, what you do with yourself in pub, all that kind of stuff. That's what we need to change. And isn't that just frustrating that we would have a husband or a wife that would deny that? Isn't it terrible if a young person or a teenager or a young adult or whatever would have a father or a mother or a grandma or grandpa that would deny them the opportunity to do works meet for repentance? If those people are saved, would you want to be at that judgment seat of Christ? By the way, why did you deny your daughter, husband, wife, whatever, the opportunity to do works meet for repentance? They got this thing together. Why would you deny that? But I have to make this qualifying statement. I don't believe that's how the judgment seat of Christ is going to go. We'll talk about it sometime. I don't believe that's... Now, the judgment of God, the white throne judgment, sure. Because you are getting judged. But I don't believe God's going to put the hammer on us at the judgment seat of Christ at all. Because us, myself, my me, I'm fine. And he's going to take what we did and he's going to toss it in the fire and it's going to burn. So the way that these parents or these husbands or wives denied their kids or family, whatever, to do works meet for repentance, that's what's going to burn. But I just can't imagine being the kind of a dad or a husband or whatever that would deny the wife the opportunity to do works meet for repentance. For godly sorrow worketh repentance, and you're mad because they want to change their lives? What planet are you from? Okay. Does that all make sense? Nod your heads, but I can't see you nodding your head anyway. Oh, okay. So we did that one. We kind of skipped that one, and we went down to this one here. Let's go to this one. Let's go to Acts 17. This is something else Paul does. Acts 17. Oh, Acts 17. You know what's in Acts 17, don't you? See, it's taken me long enough. I repeat stuff a number of times that you finally just start getting it, you know. And maybe I should start teaching and preaching out of, you know, Ephesians or Ezekiel, stuff like that. And now I realize, like tonight, why? I need to preach and teach all the counsel of God, and that's Paul. That's what I need. If you want to read about these other guys, Ishmael especially, interesting stuff, where these Arabs came from, yes, it's fantastic stuff to study. It's probably profitable for our understanding. It's profitable to talk to somebody who loves the Muslims, you know. Let me tell you what the problem here is, you know. But what we want to hear is what Paul has to say. That's all the counsel of God. Okay, we are looking at Acts 17, verse 23. Breathe, okay. Acts 17, verse 20. Where am I at here? Acts 17, which is before 18, verse 23. You might as well start with 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions..." I still like that, devotions. You guys are, people that do devotions are worshiping an unknown God because they have no clue. So they get the little devotional booklets, you know. They don't want their Bible study to go too long, so they let somebody else write them a 30-second one. Anyway, I found an altar with this inscription, "To the unknown God." Could we get a Lutheran or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Bible believer or a... Anyway, he doesn't have King James Bible and doesn't rightly divide. Could we get them to admit that they're at an altar to the unknown God? How about somebody who's never read their Bible? You know what you have? You have an unknown God. Now here's what Paul does. "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." I'll tell you about the unknown. I'll tell you about the known God. So what do we get from Paul? We learn about the known God. And you're worshiping him ignorantly. He's not listening. He can't hear you. Who do you think you are? God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. What are you doing? Neither is worship with men's hands, you know, instruments as well, as well as statues. Those are instruments, because your hands, as David made instruments, da-da-da-da, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. Who do you think you are that you can do this and you don't even know anything about Him? Well, this is what Paul is. Him declare I unto you. I guess that would make him kind of unhappy, wouldn't it, I suppose, a little bit here. I guess. Let's go to one more here. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. Let's go to Acts 26. We'll make this our last one here. And this is my last sermon, probably, maybe possibly Wednesday night from the studio, 129 Main Street. I may go up to the school this week early yet, I don't know, we'll see. And we're looking at Acts 26. Okay, Acts 26, verse 17. Here we go. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. All this, you know what this is, don't you? This is one of the purposes of Paul. If you go back to 16, you see that, but rise and stand upon thy feet, the Lord is telling Paul, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Wow. To make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. So this is Jesus' promise to Paul. Listen, you're going to be my minister. You're going to tell people what you saw, have seen already, and you're going to tell people what I'm going to tell you. And here's what it's going to do. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles. So he had to get him away from the very people he was going to teach. You know, because the prophet has no honor in his own country, kind of a thing, I suppose. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to open our eyes. He's going to turn us from darkness to light. He's going to turn us from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. And it's not the faith in Paul, it's the faith of Christ that is in Paul. So what he's talking about there. We can see that. I hope we can see that. So that's what Paul's going to do. He's going to show us how to receive forgiveness and get inheritance. What is it about this guy they don't like? He doesn't preach sin hard enough. Well, that's not the point here. Romans chapter 6, the first half, tells us not to worry about that. Yeah, but this guy draws so nice. I know, I'm glad the guy in chalk draws really well, but he's not teaching the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Stick to Paul. 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 Paul only.